SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, this show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy, and remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice.
SwingerCast!
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times.
Okay, we're in the car and we're headed out to the Vagina Talk Show. And we're going to drive John crazy with all the vaginas that he can't lick tonight because he just had his wisdom tooth out, so so I'm excited. I am totally excited about this show, and we're gonna get to talk to the producers and writers after the show. Tell us a little bit what we know about the show, John. What do you know about it?
Well, I know that one of our listeners contacted these guys, so whoever that was, thank you. And I know that there's going to be three women sitting on the stage, and we'll be able to see their vagina, but we won't be able to see their face. They'll have a curtain over their face and their, I guess, their breasts, too. And they'll just be the vaginas, and we'll ask them questions.
Now, are we supposed to ask the vaginas questions?
Sure.
Is that, it's called the Vagina Talk Show.
Yes, so they also have a penis talk show, but it's a separate night. I don't think we're going to be able to make that. But
they said to come with some questions. I don't know. What kind of questions do you ask a vagina? I'm not sure.
Is she busy later?
Can we come to the cast party after the show? Yeah? How about that? I'm a little nervous.
Why?
I don't know. Because I can't. I'm drawing a blank on questions to ask the vagina.
So we got to the show and we got to see some vaginas.
Three vaginas up there on the stage. That was fun.
Yes, and they answered all of our questions from the audience. And what I loved about it was the host got the entire audience sharing their fantasies and opening up. It was just a wonderful time. There were a few couples there, some singles, and a large family of polyamorous. I guess, what would you call that? A large family of polyamorous people? I don't know. I don't know what you call that.
A gang of polyamory.
Yeah, they took up the whole first two rows, and they were all connected into a family. But they were in the audience as well, and everyone was sharing their and opening up and talking about it.
But it was not like it was like a discussion group. That was what was the most fun to me. It was entertaining. It was funny. These guys put on a great show. And after the show, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with them. So here you go. So we are sitting here after the performance of the Vagina Talk Show at thevaginatalkshow.com with the producers and MC and one of the vaginas. And I guess, first of all, we're talking with, we have Paula and Ron and vagina number two. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
Okay, this was amazing. Show tonight. I love it.
Did you really?
I did. And what I love about it is how everyone is encouraging them to talk openly about their sexuality and talk about taboo subjects. It's just wonderful. And describe the set.
Well, we have three chairs on a stage with a low-hanging curtain. And so we'll have either three vaginas or three penises on the stage, and they are completely exposed from the waist down and completely anonymous from the waist up because they are seated behind the curtain and they have microphones back there. So the audience comes in and Ronnie starts to engage them right away and gets them to feel comfortable. Come on in, everybody, come on in, you know, grab a seat. And they find index cards and a pen on their chair. And Ronnie will say, okay, now's your chance. You know, it's anything you've ever wanted to know about a vagina, but were afraid to ask. You know, come on in and think of a great question. And then he spends a good amount of time just talking with them and getting them to start using their imagination. What kind of questions would you like to ask? And he starts asking them personal questions right off the bat. So by the time the show actually begins, everybody's sort of familiar with each other because Ronnie has sort of walked around and put the microphone in front of people and asked them a lot of questions about themselves already. So it's just a great time. And I think that it's true. The feeling of intimacy starts to form right away because Ronnie's really good at getting people involved.
Yeah, he was excellent. So whose idea was the show? Who created the show? How did the show come into being?
Well, I'll talk about that because I have a theater background, so I've written a lot of plays, and what I find with a play, it's always a process. You know, it's never like you just get there. It's always like, oh, I want to write a play about this, and then, well, how many characters? Everything evolves, right? So with this, can I tell them all the? I met this wonderful woman, this producer, and she shared with me that she was into this thing called vagina gazing, where we would I didn't know this, people stare at other people's vaginas and talk about them. And I thought that was really interesting as a gay man. I'd never heard of that. So I also am a partner in a sex club in Los Angeles. So I said, well, what if we did that at the club? And how would we do that? Well, I don't want my face exposed. I said, well, what if we, because I love those old peep shows. I actually wrote a play about, I just had a play in Fort Lauderdale called Peep Show about the guys and girls who work in those peep show booths in New York City. So I kind of love that stuff. I said, well, what if we built like a little booth and you sat in there from here down and the guys just looked through the peephole and saw you? I could have like a Carnival Barker hat. I could be like, step up and see the peep show. And the guys would look through there, you know. So that was what we did. We thought it would be fun to do that, never thinking we were going to be here a year later doing the show in all these cities. So what happened was guys would come up and they would look through, and one guy said, can I ask the vagina a question? And I was like, yes, ask the vagina a question. And it was something weird, like, what do you do on the weekends? That was it. What do you do on the weekends? And I think the vagina's like, oh, I shop or I go grocery shop. It was so crazy. It was so weird. I thought, this could actually be a show. And so then we just kept talking, and we said, well, let's try this thing with this. I don't know that we just talked and we just said, let's try it and get three women and we'll do it. So we did it and it worked. So then we're like, well, let's try the penis talk show. But in the last couple of months, it's morphed again to where the audience, it's really, for me, I love the vaginas and the penises, but the audience that's what fuels it, because to see strangers sharing all this intimacy. So we think that we're going to evolve into doing maybe another show or something where it's even more audience. We don't know. We just love the fact the audience gets on stage and the acts out, sex acts. And like we had one last week, a guy taught us a rusty trombone. You know what that is? Like it's when you're eating ass and you're jerking him off in the front. So we got up and acted it off, everybody. So we don't know. But like right now, we're where we are. We don't know where it's going, but we have evolved. It's been very organic. You know, it's been very evolving.
Like tonight, I mean, it wasn't like you went around and asked everybody, okay, tell us a little bit about yourself. It's not like that. It's like very entertaining and very informative and extremely educational. And I think that was the one part of it that I wasn't expecting, was the educational part of it, because, you know, I'm an old tainted swinger. You know, I know everything, right? But I learned some things tonight, you know, and I think that I know there were a lot of people here too that were, you know, kind of, you know, dipping their toes into this. We had one couple that was on a first date, right?
That was great.
But I mean, there was something for everybody, and that's what I really liked about it.
It's funny that you said that you were struck by the education part of this, and that really, that, you know, speaks to my heart, because I've always called this edutainment. And what our passion is really, it's like, for me, it's the education piece. Ronnie is really into the entertainment, and it's very important to me, though, to have the education with it. But we're not certified sex educators. I don't have a degree in this, but what we do is we provide a really fun way for people to learn about sex and sexuality and bodies in a way, in a lighthearted way that they don't have an opportunity to learn in school or really in any other setting.
I have zero interest in education. I mean, I do. I mean, I want people to laugh. I want to have a good time. That's what I want to do. Like, I'm not interested in teaching a class or, it doesn't interest me. Like, I've met a lot of people through this group that do that. They teach sex classes and they go to workshops. It just doesn't interest me on any level. You know, what interests me is watching people doing things that they did not think they would come here and do. Like, I want things to happen here that will only happen here, will never happen again. You know, it's like, you had to be there for that moment. And there were some really good orgasms tonight. We had really quiet ones.
Very authentic.
Yeah, very authentic.
Yes.
Yeah, they're usually funnier. And they were funny, but they were really, I really feel like I was
in the room. I think the polyamory people were into the tantric orgasms or different kind of, that's what that,
go
that.
On. And, oh, I hadn't
thought. Yeah, he asked you, what kind of orgasm do you want me to have?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
He could pick one.
Yeah. I got like 8 orgasms. Pick one.
Pick an orgasm.
Vagina number 2, you're being kind of quiet over
there. This is your first time, right? Tonight,
yes,
doing this?
Very first time.
And how did it feel? How did you feel? Were you nervous?
I guess being on stage with 2 other vaginas made me feel comfortable. You know, and and really, the host was really, this was awesome. Like, he had us laughing. He was asking all the right questions. Like, everybody was just really open and felt comfortable about answering the questions and everything. And, like, I didn't think that I was going to learn as much as I learned being on a stage, you know, because I was here to, you know, show my vagina. But I learned so much just by being here on stage, so... I think this was amazing, and I really hope I get to, you know, be another vagina on the show. So,
well, what made you think to do this? Or?
Well, I've been noticing that I'm just getting, like, more comfortable with my sexuality and, like, my sex life and everything. So I just wanted to try it. I didn't even really know if I was really going to be able to do this, you know. But when I came down and I met the producer of the show, she really made me feel really comfortable. And, you know, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. Then I met, you know, more people that was here, you know, like the people in the audience, well, just listening to the audience. I was really jealous that I couldn't see what was going on. Everybody had something to offer, even though they just were talking about their sex life, you know, and like, I need to hear stuff like that, you know, cause it just makes me feel like a normal person, you know, like I have sex, I like it. I do dirty things, nasty things. I like it, you know, so, but other people do it, you know, so now I feel right. I feel, you know, like a normal person, a normal freak. You know, so.
I'm curious, how did you, because I don't do any of the casting, did you see an ad? Like, how did the process work? And what made you say, oh, yes, I'm going to respond? Like, what brought you to this moment? Like, what specifically, how did it happen?
Yes, I did see an ad. And, well, like I was saying, I'm thinking about, like, getting into, like, just all things had to have to do with sex. You know, like, I'm on, like, porn websites. I'm looking at porn a lot. I've looked on, like, Pornhub. I'm, like, following porn stars and stuff like that. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is it that I want to do, you know? So when I seen this, it said something about, you know, you show your vagina, but not your face, which I was like, okay, yeah, you know, because I don't have time for all that getting pretty stuff. So I just was like, whoa, let me see if I would be able to show my vagina on stage for even, you know, one person or 30 people or 3,000 people. I'm like, I don't really know. So I just know, I was like, well, let me just go and meet the producer and see, you know, how this will work. And I came and I did it. And I'm really happy that I came down here.
So are we.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
Was the show what you thought it would be, sitting there talking, or was it different than what you thought?
It was just better, I guess. Well, really, it was the audience and, you know, you being a host. Like, you asked really good questions, and the people in the audience just, I don't know, you just made them feel really comfortable. So they had really, I was really into all the answers and people just, like, saying things that they do or things that they done or their fantasies and everything. I like how you got them to, like, open up and everything. So I get to hear, like, things that they think about or what they like and stuff like that, instead of always assuming. So I think it was really the audience that did it for me.
Yeah.
Well, vagina number two. You fooled me. I thought you must have done this before.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Well, I guess the being behind the curtain really did help.
Very comfortable.
Well, because I was laughing the whole time. Yeah, like, I like laughing. Just like the young lady that was giggling. I swear, that was so funny. That was so funny. And we had a nice crowd. We had a really nice active audience. And it sounded like they have a really nice sex lives. So really, like, I was, you know, on stage, you know, getting a little turned on and everything.
What did you want?
Just hearing the people, hearing them, their orgasms was really good. just hearing them say things that they like, and being, like, curious about the different vaginas and stuff. It's like, I guess when we first showed our vaginas, they were so quiet. You can tell that how they were like looking at our vaginas and everything. And like, how come that one looks like this? And how come that is different and everything like that? So I'm just glad that we had a really good audience. The couple in the front row, I can't call them a couple, but the group in the front row, they was really turning me on. I was so jealous to see them sitting there, you know, the female in the middle, and she got two guys next to her just touching on her, and she just is touching on them, like holding her crotch and everything like that. I just was like, oh my God, I wish I could be her. And then when she was talking about her partners, I thought she was joking.
No.
I never met anybody like that.
One of the lessons is that you can have whatever you want. You know, it's like you have to be clear about what you want. But if you want it, there are people out there that will give it to you and you can get it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody should suffer in silence. Nobody should, oh, if I could only have that. Like, anything you want is doable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that came through tonight.
You know what? It's like the communication is key, really.
Yes.
Just what you said. Like, you really can have everything as long as you have a good communication.
Communication is really important in swinging, and it's based on communication between the partners and your play partners. But in polyamory, with those couples that were here, that even takes way more communication than swinging. Because, I mean, they're sharing relationships, not just sex. You know, we have one relationship and then sex with other people. It's right. It takes a lot of communication, but with that group, that even takes more.
I can't fathom it, really. Like, I'm thinking right now my husband's waiting for me to text him after the show or say I'm on my way home. But if there were four other people I had to, like, communicate with,
yeah.
I can't get my mind around that. Like, oh, let me text my husband, let me text my other husband, let me text my boyfriend, then tell my... I don't know how to, and then oh, I'm going with so-and-so to the casino. I just can't get my mind around how that would be in a relationship with those people. She talked about jealousy, though, right, didn't she? She said there was jealousy issues. Interesting when we do the show and we think we've heard it all, and I'm like, oh, I never heard that before. Oh, that's something new. Like, it seems to never end. You know, there's no end where, okay,
true.
I've learned it all. There's always something. Like, you would think you would, you know, in this, you know, you have a podcast, but
right.
You would say, it's like, oh, I never heard that.
If I may, talking about jealousy and, you know, how much work it is to maintain a healthy polyamorous relationship. Last night I went to an event which was held by our sex positive LA community, and it was a round table discussion, and the topic was jealousy. So I heard a lot about what you're saying, mm-hmm. where it really does require, they say once you and your partner decide that you're going to open up and become polyamorous, basically get ready to just talk and talk and talk like you have never talked before, because basically you end up talking about it all the time.
Wow.
And you get a lot of rewards, a lot of benefits, and you really, like, you know, you can really open up your life to all kinds of wonderful joys, but there has to be this constant communication, deliberate, healthy communication. And then even with all of that, couples that have been practicing polyamorous relationships still can have jealousy issues pop up from time to time. So, you know, it's a lifestyle that requires commitment.
Thank you so much for letting us come to your show. We really enjoyed it. So where are you guys headed next? Where can people catch your show?
Well, we're going to be here at the Diversionary Theater in San Diego for the rest of this weekend. So I don't know when this is going to air, but we have Saturday night, the penis talk show, and then we have a vagina talk show followed by a penis talk show on Sunday night, so April 18th, April 19th here in San Diego. We have a show in Van Nuys on April 25th, and it's actually our first, it's a vagina talk show, and it's our first BDSM edition, and it's being held at a sex club in Van Nuys called Club Sex Addicts. And then right after the vagina talk show, there is a sex party that is a BDS-themed sex party being held at the same location. So it's kind of a double fun time. And then we're on hiatus because Ronnie's husband is about to get his green card. And once that happens, it should be a couple of weeks from now, but once that happens, his wonderful husband is going to be able to come into the States for the first time, and they're going to travel. And his husband, Melky, is finally going to meet his parents and
awesome.
Other family members. So there's going to be a month or two that there will be no shows, but we will be in the planning stages to hit the ground running as soon as they're finished with their wonderful trip.
So if some of our listeners want a show in their city, are you guys open, and how would they contact you?
You can go to thevaginatalkshow.com or thepenistalkshow.com, and they both go to the same website.
We don't know where the show is going, and we just want to be really open to anything. We have this philosophy that every time we do the show, like something happened, like tonight meeting you guys, we never know what's going to happen, and just doors keep opening, and we just want to keep meeting people and seeing what happens, and you know, just being open to any adventure, really, right?
Right.
Well, thank you guys so much
for
inviting us. We had a blast, a lot of fun.
Thank you, John and Allie. Thank you, vagina number two. You're awesome.
Vagina number
two. Thank you guys for having me.
Vagina number two, you're coming to a club with us.
I want
to see her in a club.
I can't wait.
Definitely, we're taking you to a club.
Well,
you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. No, you just to see the atmosphere. That's what we suggest people do the first time they go to the club, just to have fun and soak in the atmosphere. And
trust me, it will be fun. Seriously, I always hear about it.
Yes, and you have a beautiful clit.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes,
you
do.
See, stuff like that turns me on.
I think having an MC that's gay is Keith is critical, yeah.
It's funny you say that as a straight man. It's funny you say that because she said that too. She thinks it takes the edge off.
It does.
It's disarming. Women do not feel threatened by a gay man.
Right.
Not sexually threatened. So, yeah, it's kind
nobody
of...
Nobody feels sexually threatened by me.
Especially a self-deprecating gay man.
Self what?
Well, the other day I wasn't feeling very well the other day, and we were having this conversation, and I said, you're a comic genius. I said, you're self-defecating, and then he goes, what did you just say? I said, you're self... No, oh, God.
Oh, all right. We'll stop.